to Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, you may be asking, why is the book of Romans so important? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because there are many things we could point to, but one of the main aspects is that Paul presents a clear picture of what the gospel is. Today, there seems to be a lot of confusion as to what the gospel really is. Some say there's more than one way to heaven. Some say there is no hell. Some say there's no heaven. But Paul the Apostle goes through this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he gives a clear outline, a clear definition of what the gospel really is: the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he also tells us that there is no other way to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. Well, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And as we look into the book of Romans, we need to understand, and as we get into the book of Romans, as you study the book of Romans, how that Paul is a prosecutor, how that as a prosecutor, he's presenting a case. He starts out with a plus, telling us that the gospel and about the gospel and about prayer. And then he goes into the fact that all are guilty before an all-righteous God. There are no exceptions. There is no excuse for people not understanding that they are sinners. Some people think they are without sin. They live above sin, some think, but Paul says, no, that's not true. You are a sinner. And today, we need to understand that, as Paul the Apostle said of himself, he was the least of all. But he thanked God that he was chosen to carry the gospel to the world. And in fact, he said he was the chief of sinners. And this is something that we need to understand today, that God can use people who are dedicated to him and who are willing to serve him. And the way we serve him is to take the gospel to the world. We need to be thankful to the Lord today, as saved people, that we are allowed to take the gospel to people. We are entrusted with the holy things of God. Now, of course, I'm speaking to saved people. Saved people are entrusted with the holy things of God to take Jesus into this lost world, in and around about us, to tell them, to tell the people about Jesus Christ. Well, now, as we look in verse 10 of chapter 1, and as we begin, Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 13. Once again, let me remind you that here Paul says, and he gives an example, an outline, of 8 admonitions concerning prayer. And right now, I want us to start with number 7, the 7th admonition that Paul gives about prayer. Now, in verse 10, the Bible says, Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Well, the 7th admonition here about prayer from Paul is that prayer should be submissive. Well, note the words in that verse. It says, by the will of God. Paul did not demand God or order God to dictate to God what he wanted. He simply made a request and wanted the request granted, only if it was the will of God. See, when we pray to the Lord, we need to pray expecting that he's going to answer the prayer. But sometimes God does not answer the prayer the way we want him to answer the prayer. We need to pray and be in submission to the Lord by saying, Lord, if it be your will, let this come to pass. If it be your will, answer this prayer, Lord, not according to what I want, Lord, but you know better. Well, you answer it that way, and it needs to be answered. Lord, you are the one in charge. And that's what Paul was saying here in verse 10. He was submissive to the Lord's will. Now, number 8 about prayer is the prayer that should be rightly motivated. Verses 11 and 12 says this, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Well, notice down through verse 12, Paul was motivated here. First of all, he wanted to do God's will, according to verse 10. Secondly, he wanted to establish or strengthen, to confirm to the Roman believers on the rock. He wanted to confirm them that Jesus Christ was the rock, verse 11. And third, he wanted to comfort and encourage these believers, as well as to be comforted and encouraged by them, according to verse 12. Well, Paul's reasons were good reasons. He was concerned for the glory of God and the good of others. Now let's look at a reason that Paul wanted to go to Rome. One of the reasons Paul wanted to go to Rome is in verse 13. He says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Well, God makes no mistakes. Paul wanted to go, but God had other plans for him. He says he was let hitherto. In other words, he went someplace else. Paul wanted to go to Rome in order to get some results, the fruit. Remember, God makes no mistakes. He's in charge. Paul wanted to see some results, fruit. This meant he wanted to see people growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." We bring honor and glory to God by studying His Word. We bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ by growing in His grace. That means to gain the wisdom of God. Ask for His wisdom. Ask for the knowledge. And that knowledge comes through the study of the Word of God as the Holy Spirit imparts the truth to us as we read the Word of God. Now, in Paul's case, many times Rome was included on his travel itinerary. But again and again, Paul was hindered from making the trip. Romans chapter 1 and verse 13 and Romans chapter 15 and verse 22, it talks about that. And one reason that Paul wanted to go to Rome is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 13. Now in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, once again it says, "To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Well, you look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 22 where it says, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you." Well, did Paul eventually get to Rome? Well, yes, he did. But he got there in a very unusual way. Now, God does not always answer our prayers as we think He should. Paul's prosperous journey turned out to be one of the most treacherous and dangerous trips across the Mediterranean Sea that you could ever imagine. And this, of course, is described in detail for us in Acts chapter 27. And certainly, the trip was not what Paul expected, the trip that he would eventually take to Rome. He was escorted there as a prisoner. Paul's prayer was answered, but in a very unusual way. Once again, our prayers get answered, and sometimes they don't get answered the way we want them to be answered. But we need to be in submission to God for Him to answer the prayer the way He wants to answer. Verse 14, the epistle to the Romans, is the true masterpiece of the New Testament and the very purest gospel, which is well worth and deserving that a Christian man should not only learn it by heart, word for word, but also that he should daily deal with it as the daily bread of men's souls. It can never be too much or too well read or studied. And the more it is handled and the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes. This is that I just read from you is from Martin Luther, the Reformer. And Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, "I am debtor." Well, this is Paul speaking. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, he says, both to the wise and to the unwise. Well, see, right here in this verse, we see an obligation. Paul says, I am debtor. I owe something. I have an obligation. I have a gospel duty to do something. Well, an obligation to whom? The Greeks and the barbarians, Paul said. And these were two classes of Gentiles. The Greeks were those under the influence of Greek culture and language. The Greek language was the universal and common language of the Roman Empire, and Paul's letter to the Romans was written in common Greek, not in Latin and not in Hebrew. The barbarians here were foreigners, those not under the direct influence of Greek culture. Well, you can look at Acts chapter 28 and verse 2 and verse 4 in conjunction with this, and now Paul owed the gospel to every member of the human race, is what he's saying. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin the cause, Christ the cure. Let me say that again. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin the cause, Christ the cure. And we need to take that to heart today. There's only one cure, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He seems to be saying, ready, set, go. Paul said, I'm ready. Ready, willing, and eager to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. Ready for what? To preach the gospel, to evangelize, announce the good news, to proclaim the gospel. To proclaim means to evangelize. An evangelical church is an evangelistic church with strong beliefs. So many people have taken that word evangelical and made it something that is not scriptural. But that church is an evangelist. It should be an evangelistic church, nor is zealous in support of good news, the good news of Christ, and very eager to share the good news with other people. Not according to what they think, but what they know according to the scriptures. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, notice there's three great I ams that Paul the Apostle says in verse 14. He says, I am debtor. He says in verse 15, I am ready. In verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed. And look at this. Paul said, I am not ashamed. And also, Paul said, I am not ashamed. Again, Paul was not ashamed to go to prison for the sake of the gospel, and he was not ashamed to die for the sake of the gospel. Christians should not be ashamed of the gospel. They should not be ashamed to the gospel by living contrary to its principles. 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 12 says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do not be ashamed of your Lord.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.